Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR.net. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, and we're broadcasting live from our studios in a little place called Tupelo, Mississippi. And Ray Pritchard is with us, and he's in Kansas City, Kansas, although he sounds like he's right here in studio.
It is a miracle. Yeah.
Miracle technology.
Miracle
That's right.
technology. You got any traveling to do, Ray? You got to go speak?
Heading up to Chicago this weekend. Our ministry is having every couple of years we have a big retreat for our ministry and our key team leaders. And so, in fact, I won't be here on Thursday. We'll be en route to Chicago and then back on Monday.
You can always tell that it's warm weather, and this is when Ray goes up north.
That's right.
Right.
In the winter, I go south. In the summer, I go north.
I always knew you were a smart man.
You're a good duck, Ray.
That's right.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Steve Jordahl.
Sorry to chime in there before I was introduced.
Calling Ray names. That's a good way
to get our
show started.
I like it. A good duck. I'll take that.
Well, let me ask you this, Ray. Chicago is, you say Chicago now, people have, I don't want to go there thoughts. Is that not fair?
There are certain sections of the city that are more challenging than others. Shall we say that, Tim?
Yeah, that's challenging.
We'll be out in the suburbs.
Okay.
So we'll not be downtown.
Hey, but now it's been 10 years ago since I was in downtown Chicago. I haven't been to a game at Wrigley Field, which is on my bucket list.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, you got to go.
Oh,
got to go.
So cool.
Sandy Rio sent me a picture. She and her husband, Bruce, who were there couple of days ago at Wrigley Field. She's a big Cubs fan. She's from Chicago area. But I have been down to that Navy Pier.
Yep.
I really enjoyed that. And downtown Chicago is beautiful as far as if you like big cities and buildings and skylines and things of that nature, and that river runs through it in the middle of it. But I remember thinking, I want to come back to Chicago for that. Is it the taste of Chicago? Is that what they call it?
Yes. Was there many times when we passed?
Well, tell us what that's about.
Well, you know, that's where they get.
For those who are new to the show, you pastored in Chicago for 20 years.
Well, for 17 years.
17.
And in the summer, I'm picking dates here, but it's like the last 10 days of June through July the 4th. So for about 2 weeks, you go down to Grant Park, which is right there on Lake Michigan, okay? Gorgeous, gorgeous downtown area. And all the restaurants, all the famous restaurants in Chicago have these booths, and you can go there and buy the tickets. And so these restaurants that you normally could never afford to go to on your own, right?
Right.
They're just too expensive. For a few dollars, you could sample 20 different restaurants in one afternoon. And so
How long does that last? A week or so?
A couple of weeks.
Really?
And Tim, they will get several million people go to Taste of Chicago.
Now, is that down by the Navy Pier?
It's Grant Park is close to the Navy Pier, just a little bit away from it. It's right on Lake Michigan. So it's a gorgeous scene. And when the weather is nice, there's hardly a better way in the summer to spend a day than a few hours at Taste of Chicago. And you put your diet aside. The whole idea is you don't worry about your diet.
I can do that.
You know, put it aside and go down there and sample all the stuff.
It'd be hard.
Doing that for 30 years.
Putting
my diet aside.
Touche, Steve. All right, Steve Jordahl, what you got?
I want to talk about Pro-Life Group Live Action, which is known as the largest, has the largest online following of any pro-life movement with over 3.3 million viewers, and it has been blocked, permanently deleted from Pinterest.
Is that Lila Rose?
It is Lila Rose's group.
Right.
Now, Pinterest is the site where you can go and you can pin pictures and recipes and posts and memes, and you can organize them by interest. It's just It's not a – you don't post long articles and that kind of stuff. You just kind of post
– I give myself 30 seconds there. I'm bored. Well, but a lot of people enjoy it.
What, Pinterest?
Pinterest, yeah.
Pinterest, you think I'd awesome. Find that interesting?
It's awesome. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I have a Pinterest account.
Ray, you want to –
I've been there. Yeah. I've been there.
I know what it is, but
yeah. You go there, you can find out all kinds of ideas about organizing your garage, learning watercolor.
Why would you want to learn ideas about things like that and then give yourself more work at home?
Oh, I love organizing.
Gardening and
gardening, you know, yes.
Recipes.
Right. Well, I don't do the recipes, but okay.
It's a huge, huge site.
Yeah, I can appreciate what they do there.
Up until this morning at 4:39. You could have also gone there and found out content about pro-life issues from Live Action.
Are you saying Live, L-I-V-E, Action?
L-I-V-E,
okay, Action. A place. They had a place on Pinterest. Is that the way you pronounce it?
Pinterest, right.
Pinterest. Did I say it wrong?
No, Pinterest. Pinterest. You're right.
Okay, they have a place on Pinterest, and now Pinterest has...
Well...
What
technically,
happened?
Technically, what happens is you go to Pinterest, you go to Live Action's website or take content, and then you post it on Pinterest.
Okay.
And they're not allowing you to do. They're not allowing them to do that.
Why not?
Well, because there's two conflicting reasons. This is from Pinterest. They said your account was permanently suspended because its contents went against our policies on misinformation. We don't allow harmful information on Pinterest. Okay, well, if they are talking about the humanity of an unborn child, calling that misinformation.
What has Live Action said in response to this?
Well, they're appealing. But okay. The other thing that happened.
So they haven't said anything other than they've been blocked. They haven't been critical.
Oh, no, they're they are certainly. Taking to Twitter and talking about, yes, and they're saying that
this is the first time, you know, you hear Facebook, YouTube, right. Google, whatever, right. These other big social media giants have taken political stances against people. We hear that about that every other day or so, but this is our Twitter. But Pinterest, I've never heard of that.
Well, first,
I've never heard of them doing
them
something
doing
like
this. Right. This is the first I've heard of
Pinterest.
It too. Apparently, according to a reporter, there's been, as far as they know, no other pro-life group that has been so censured. And the other thing that's interesting about
excuse me for interrupting. That suggests that maybe Pinterest is not against pro-life the message per se. Maybe they have a sort of a neutral position on this or don't have a position, but they have, because they're not blocking other pro-life groups, they're only blocking the is that the right
here's the deal. There's another James O'Keefe from Project Veritas went in,
yeah,
and he found a whistleblower that showed him, and they have pictures of a list of pornographic websites, and this is just a list of URLs, of addresses, web addresses for porn sites. And by reading them, you can tell they're a porn site by the title, right?
Okay,
they're gross, but you can tell what they are. And right in the middle, planted in the middle of that is liveaction.org. So they have
Pinterest did that?
Pinterest did this. They listed them as a porn site so that you can't, because they won't, Pinterest won't allow
pornography. That's beyond blocking you. That's
And it was all behind the scenes and they never knew it.
What are we about to hear?
Nothing. I'm about to get a Kleenex for those of you who are watching.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, well, we'll see what becomes of that story, but Live Action is being temporarily, at least hopefully it's only temporarily,
yeah,
suspended, put in timeout, kicked off, whatever you want to call it.
All right, next story. The Southern Baptist Convention is meeting in Birmingham, Alabama this week. And high on the agenda, because of some reporting from the Houston Chronicle and some other another outlet, is the issue of sexual abuse within the Southern Baptist Convention. The Houston Chronicle went and dug back and found about 700 victims of sexual abuse.
Over what period of time?
Over 20 years. And they found some instances of pastors who were known or suspected that were either fired and then moved on to a different Southern Baptist church. So the Houston Chronicle kind of wanted to make it out like the second coming of the Catholic abuse scandal. The numbers don't bear that out, but the Southern Baptist Conference couldn't just say, no, we're not that bad, we're going to ignore it. They had to do something about it. So their president, Greer.
J.D. Greer.
The president, J.D. Greer, commissioned a committee to go and do a report on sexual abuse. And this is what this committee came back with. And so what they are doing is they've put this report into three sections. One is the scope of the problem, and they're dealing with it not just within the Southern Baptist Church, but what they're saying is we want Southern Baptist churches to be a place of healing for those who have been abused both within the church and outside in the community. The statistics say that about 3 of every 4 women that are alive today that are over the age of 13, I think it is, have been abused at one point, sexually abused at one point in their life. 3 out of 4.
I don't believe it.
You're talking about, I don't believe, you're talking about the general public.
Yes.
Not the Southern Baptist
Church.
Yes,
no.
No, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't believe that statistic. I'm not accusing you, right, but I've heard it a number of times. I think the reason that number is so high is because of the whatever your definition is of abuse, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think 3 out of every 4 women have been physically sexually assaulted.
I don't believe that either. That's crazy. That's a crazy number. Let me ask you this, Ray. What Steve's talked about here, I remember when this story came out a few months ago. If you look at the numbers that the Houston Chronicle used, that is 700 sexual documented victims of sexual abuse, right, Steve?
Yes.
Over a 20-year period, right?
Yes.
Among a denomination with thousands of churches?
Tens of thousands.
16 million members.
16 million people. That is minuscule. That is a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage.
And we're not saying those cases are unimportant.
One's horrible.
Right.
One, right. But I'm saying it put this in perspective. If the Houston Chronicle was trying to make the Southern Baptist Convention look like the Roman Catholic Church with their scandals, which are horrible, and the numbers are off the charts, and there are a lot of very dedicated Catholics who are heartbroken about this, right, and are outraged at the same time, who want something done. But so I guess I'm asking you, Ray, the numbers of the Southern Baptist just are so tiny. Go ahead.
You know, Tim, the leaders of the convention, the Southern Baptist Convention, face two problems at this point. Number one, in today's climate, you cannot be seen to be brushing off any accusations of sexual abuse. Maybe there was a time, another time, another place where that happened, but you can't be seen to be doing that today. So they're taking it up. And as you said, Tim, even one case is one too many.
Sure.
It's a horrible thing when it happens. I think the much bigger problem the Southern Baptists face is they are a voluntary assemblage of basically independent churches. It's not like in the Methodist Church or the Episcopal Church or the Lutheran Church or certainly the Catholic Church where you have a great deal of control from above. So even if they pass a resolution,
right,
and they're certainly going to pass one, strongly worded, mm-hmm, how do you enforce that in a right, voluntary association of churches? That's really the bigger problem, and I don't think they have an answer to that question.
I will tell you how they're going to try, Ray, and I think you probably have read this. They are appointing a standing committee. It is going to be a group of men and women of Southern Baptist that are going to meet regularly. And what they're going to do is they are going to ask churches to put in several measures of protection for kids and some reporting issues and they're going to create a database. The prevailing thought now is that they're probably going to create a database where you can put legitimately accused predators or pedophiles or people that have abused in churches. If it's a legitimate complaint, your name can go on this list. And then if a church decides it's not going to sign on to this, what they will do is they will say, oh, fine, you're no longer in friendly cooperation with the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, they can't make them change. They can't take their building away. They can't take their pastors away. But they can just say, fine, you're not going to cooperate. You're not a Southern Baptist church anymore. We're not going to send missionaries out in your name, all that kind of stuff. And that's the club that they're going to, that they are reportedly going to wield.
Well, there are at least two problems there among the many. And let's say again, wherever sexual abuse happens, it needs to be confronted and brought to light. And whoever actually did it, does it, ought to be brought to justice. But you use the word legitimate three or four times in your statement. That's part of the problem. What's the standard for determining who goes on that list? That's right. A lawsuit waiting to happen. Absolutely. Down the road. And number two, the club they wield is saying you're no longer in friendly cooperation. They can't say to a church, get rid of this pastor, get rid of this youth pastor. All they can say is you can't come to our meetings. So I don't know if that's going to be enough to really make a difference with the
it's
problem.
It's enough to make people upset about some people upset about the measures. And I don't know, and Ray, you would probably agree, and Ed, you would probably agree, there's not a single Southern Baptist church that would knowingly keep a predator employed, I guess.
Let me just jump in here, too. Let me just say this. First of all, I think it's a great idea to have suggestions for churches on how to protect members of the church. Yes. That's great. I don't see many Southern Baptist churches saying, well, we don't want to improve, you know, our background check or something like that. Sure. I think everyone's good. But to Ray's point, the danger is, at least in terms of the wordage, the verbiage that you use, Steve, this is what the Southern Baptist Convention is saying, legitimately accused people. That, to Ray's point, that is a lawsuit waiting to happen. To me, if someone has been convicted, all right, they should go on a list.
Right.
But if you just say, well, this pastor or this youth worker was accused, and therefore we're going to blackball them, we're going to put them on a list and say Southern Baptist churches can't hire them, they're going to get sued.
Yeah, and
you're going to get sued.
Here's the reason that
somebody's going to end up on that list who doesn't belong there, right?
And I'm not advocating this, I'm just reporting. This is what the people who want to go further than someone happening to be convicted is because often they say someone who is guilty will plead down a conviction from, you know, life in prison to something less, and that wouldn't show up as a conviction for child sexual abuse. It could be whatever it is.
Yeah.
So,
okay. I certainly don't want to give the appearance of defending child molesters.
Right, right.
Okay, because they're scum. All right, we can all agree. All right, but you have to play by some sort of rules here, and you can't say that we think this guy might have plea bargained. We're not sure. Now, if you are sure, if there was an accusation and it went to trial and there was a plea bargain and you can prove that, that's one thing.
Right.
But if you're just going on suspicion that this guy got 60 days for doing something, we think it might be connected to an accusation. Boy, I just don't see how you get away with not being sued.
For the purposes of this discussion, let me separate out a child that has said that they are being accused or being offended against, and an adult that was offended against as a child or as an adult. Children who say that they were sexually accused do not, sexually abused. The false reporting rate, they say, as I did research yesterday, is somewhere between 1 and 3, maybe 4%. Kids do not have the guile to accuse an adult of that heinous of a crime, and nor the guts, frankly, to go up against an adult. I'm thinking of the second grade kids, for example, that I teach Sunday school with.
Right.
I just can't imagine that any of them would have the guts to lie about something like that. Adult false accusations, I saw some statistics that went as high as 10%, but most people think it's probably somewhere around 5 to 7% false accusations. So just that's, for what it's worth, I'll throw that out.
Well, this is all messy. One thing I read about fairly frequently, and I don't know the percentages, is in custody cases, one parent saying, my children told me that the spouse. I don't know what the right answer to this is. I certainly think giving Baptist churches the tools and the information to try to improve their watch care and protection of children is a good idea. I'm just not sure if accusations should enter into it.
Let me say this a completely different way. Every church needs to get serious about protecting the children in their midst and the young people in their midst. Every church, Southern Baptist, non-denominational, whoever you are, whatever you are, every church in America needs to take this seriously and to do something. We're only talking about the problem inside the Southern Baptist Convention, but every church needs to take it seriously. Make sure that the children who attend your church, the women who come to your church, they are sufficiently protected.
And listen, schools as well. I'm looking at the Fox News website. There's a story. Teacher accused of having, I'm going to try to soften this for the children who might be listening, accused of having relations with a 13-year-old student. Okay, so anywhere kids are, they ought to be taking taking the measures to protect themselves.
And this report has some good measures, good suggestions to take. So I would say that because it doesn't deal with some of the issues that we've been talking about. It doesn't deal with how to make what kind of a list to make or database or how to keep in cooperation with Baptist churches. It doesn't have any of that. It just kind of outlines the scope, and maybe the number of 3 out of 4 women is wrong, but still – it gives concrete things that you can do, like setting up a committee within your church when somebody comes from the community or within your church. You have people in place that include lawyers and counselors and doctors and this kind of stuff that they can deal with it.
Next story.
All right. I want to just end today, and I want to end something. The internet is exploding right now. The internet is exploding because Nike has decided that it wants to sell some of its exercise clothes to not model size women. So Nike has a new a plus size mannequin that is out there, and it is getting all kinds of backlash.
That is a plus size mannequin.
It is getting all kinds of backlash now, saying, first of all, some people are saying
it looks like a mannequin of a woman, and she's.
She looks obese. The mannequin would be
probably. Yeah. The point is, she's a overweight
mannequin. And some people are saying, I don't really necessarily.
I've not weighed the mannequin myself. I'm just going on.
Well, some on the internet are saying, I don't want to walk past that in the store every day. You know,
wherever overweight is.
Yeah. Well, that's probably more realistic than most of the other mannequins they have up there.
So what's the problem with it?
Well, the problem is that some people are shaming it on the internet and saying, I don't want to see that. That's people that are that size shouldn't wear those.
Well,
kind
the
of exercise
regular
clothes.
Mannequins are anorexic.
I know. That's what the people that are fighting them say.
Well. I don't know what to say.
Words fail me.
With all the problems in the world, and people are going to get upset of mannequin size.
Mannequins.
For a lot of women who are this size, they want to see what they look like in these.
It could be. Go to our Facebook page, and Brent will post the picture.
Can I just clarify one thing on the 3 out of 4 women?
Yes.
Okay, I want to say that the reason I don't think it's all physical abuse, I think that number probably includes sexual harassment claims. And I don't want anyone to think that I take that lightly either. That's important.
Well, then the numbers go way up.
Well, I'm just saying 3 out of 4.
A majority of women have experienced some kind of...
That's what I think is included in that number.
Yeah.
But I want our listeners to know.
I don't think this mannequin.
Don't say it, Tim.
Okay. See you tomorrow, folks. See you tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Save Tim.